This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Oh, that's right, baby. June the 7th, 2021. The show, as you have fallen in love with, is DCR right here on 98.7 ESPN. There's a lot to get into. I think the Knicks fan feels a lot better this morning. The Nets fan, I think you probably always feel good. And the Yankees fan, probably sick to their stomach on this Monday morning. Should be another hot one. Let's say good morning to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Coming off of a good weekend. Got a chance to spend some time with the wifey. Did the brunch thing with some of her friends on Saturday to celebrate a birthday. It was a good weekend, man. It was a really good weekend. And, Dave, I got to say this.
Yeah.
And we've probably touched on it a little bit throughout the course of the last couple of months. But to be out in New York City and see other people out and about and to have the weather be what it was this weekend, it was really nice. Really nice weekend, man.
Does it kind of feels like the city is getting itself back into some semblance of normalcy a little bit?
It does. It's, you know, you still have, I mean, COVID is still present. You still see people with masks on, taking precautions. But it is nice to kind of see people trying to get back to their normal lives. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to be out, having fun, enjoying the weather, enjoying the parks. Like, that's a sight for sore eyes, man. I got to say, it's really, really nice.
It was hot this weekend, by the way. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
God.
This is one of those weekends you got to hydrate, Woo. Dave. Like, this is one of those weekends, make sure you get you a bottle of water. And, you know, hey, listen, if you have to have a sweat towel on you, too, you might want to need one of those as well. Like, it was one of those weekends. And I'll tell you, I think this is supposed to be like that for the rest of the week, too, right?
Oh, it's going to be a hot one all week. So, we're honest, right? That's the kind of show we are. Rick is supposed to be on the show with us. He's having internet issues. His Comrex is not working, so we're hoping to remedy that at some point this morning. But let's be fair, Chris. If he doesn't join us, it just gives you and I more time to talk, which we're not opposed to.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. And speaking of which, Dave, I had a chance to catch the Saturday show that you do with one Ty D. Butler, who was helping us out behind the glass this morning. And I wanted to hear from you, what's your problem with the term wifey? Like, I don't get it.
Like,
why does that incense you so much? Why does that upset you?
I think it sounds disrespectful.
How is that disrespectful? It's a term of endearment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it sounds disrespectful. And I will tell you this. You could say it's only you. Many people, because it was a hot-button issue, right? Ty and I have had this conversation. I don't like wifey. I think it sounds disrespectful. And you'd say, well, it's just you. I had many people after that conversation this weekend come up to me and said, I also think it's disrespectful. So I don't know why. I know it's not meant to be disrespectful. It sounds disrespectful to me.
Just by adding the Y at the end of it makes it disrespectful. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why.
All right.
I don't,
the I don't world know will why. Never know.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
It's definitely one of those get off
Stop
my
it.
Lawn things. Yeah,
no.
This is one of those, Dave. It absolutely is. Yes, it is.
You think it's Rothenberg is an old man when he hears wifey?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I don't understand why it upsets you so much.
It doesn't upset me. I think it sounds disrespectful. I would never refer to my wife as wifey.
I don't understand how that could be disparaging, though. Like, how can that be taken as a negative?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on it, but I'm telling you, it bothers me.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that. You know what else bothers me?
What's that?
And we'll get to that a little bit later, but the Yankees bother me. And they must drive you insane. We'll get to the Yankees at, say, I don't know, 5:30 this morning. Phone lines, as always, wide open, 800-919-3776. Quickly, I just want to touch on this quickly, and then we'll get to the Nets. If you're a Knicks fan yesterday, you watch that game, and you're like, uh-huh, there you go. That's right. You shake your head. You're like, uh-huh. Look at this. The Hawks are good, Chris.
No, the Hawks are a good basketball team, Dave, and Trae Young is a star. Like, there's no question about it. I mean, we went into this series thinking, okay, if Embiid is compromised, then maybe the Hawks could make it a long series with the Sixers. But no, there was no Embiid not being healthy. He dropped 39 yesterday. Embiid was fine. And that still wasn't enough to be able to beat the Hawks. Now, the Hawks tried to give it away in the fourth quarter. They almost had an epic collapse because they got a double-digit lead with under 5 minutes to go. And somehow, some way, they let the Sixers get to within a basket. But, I mean, give them credit. They were able to make big shots and big free throws down the stretch to secure the win. But, I mean, that is a talented Hawks team, man, and they're playing with more and more confidence. Like, I think that series win against the Knicks is a springboard, and this is a team that feels like they can compete and beat anybody. Now, I know that that's probably not the reality, and they'll get a good dose of that once they get to the Eastern Conference Finals if they're able to get past Philadelphia. But, I mean, this Hawks team is coming, Dave. This Hawks team is coming. But if you're a Knicks fan today, you should feel a little bit better about the result of the first round series, because you realize like the Hawks are a really talented team.
Really talented. And Hunter didn't even play in that game. And they still put up, 128 points, and Trae Young was completely unstoppable. So that's a tough team. Let's really launch off on the Nets, though. I mean, we all said, do they need all three? Will all three be healthy? Well, the first minute of the game on Saturday, James Harden goes in, and they don't skip a beat. I mean, Chris, they are unbelievable. So they play shorthanded, no Harden, won't play tonight either, and it has no impact on them. They still go out there and score as many points as they need, and almost at will, and they find their way in game one to beat Milwaukee. You would think if Milwaukee was ever going to steal a game one, Chris, that would be it. No James Harden. He goes out in the first minute. They haven't even game planned for not having him. And you know what? Boom. We'll still go out and we'll beat you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, but I mean, Milwaukee was caught off guard. I mean, there's no way they thought Mike James was going to come in and play as well as he did. Did you have Mike James down for getting 30 minutes off the bench, Dave?
No, of course not.
Nobody did. Okay, so that's one of those things that Milwaukee didn't see coming. Another one was Blake Griffin being able to turn back the clock and have the kind of performance he did, because he was huge right up until he fouled out, Dave. I want to say he was, 18 and 14? Something like the fact that Blake Griffin was able to step in and play like a third cog to Kyrie and Kevin Durant and forming a different type of big three. That was to me impressive. Like, that was the difference in game one. But I mean, game two tonight is going to be a much different story, Dave. It's going to be a much different story, because if you don't have to worry about James Harden, I'm sure Coach Bud's game plan is going to be completely different in terms of how he wants to slow down KD and Kyrie. And I just don't anticipate those role players for the Nets having that same type of performance. And I also don't see the Milwaukee Bucks shooting 20% from three and under 60% from the foul line. Like, those are things that I don't think are going to happen in game two. So, you know, listening to some of Giannis's comments, talking about how the defense needs to be more tied together and stop trying to, you know, do that individually, I think that you're going to see a different effort from this Bucks team. This Harden thing is serious, Dave. If he's not able to play the rest of the way in this series, this is going to be a very competitive series, and I don't know that the Nets are going to find themselves on the winning side of it.
They may not. You have to be impressed with what they did in game one. And I'll tell you what, if you're Milwaukee and you don't win tonight, that's embarrassing. It is. Because you don't have James Harden. You know you're not going to have him again. You have to split here. You can't go down 2-0. Yeah, of course, if he's not going to play in the series, you like Milwaukee's chances a whole lot better. But you have to go out there and find a way to get the victory tonight if you're the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a golden opportunity, Dave. I mean, they're going to be shorthanded. If you're missing one of those big three, the way that Milwaukee has shown themselves to be able to defend and the way that they've been able to shoot it, like, you would just hope that they would be able to find a way. But that's going to be easier said than done, man. This Brooklyn Nets team is a lot scrappier than people want to give them credit for, and it's not like this team hasn't had to deal with guys being in and out of the lineup all season long. Like, it's not like this is all of a sudden some new learning curve dealing with life without James Harden. I mean, he missed over a month of the season with the same hamstring injury. So it's not like they don't know how to navigate that and be able to get guys into roles and get production out of the spot that James Harden would have been in. So I just feel like this is a plot twist with this series that's going to make it a little bit more intriguing. And again, I come back to, I anticipate seeing a different Bucks team in game two than I did in game one. But that doesn't mean that the Bucks are just going to roll the Brooklyn Nets. I don't see that happening either.
They better find a way in this one. They absolutely better. Because if they go down 2-0, even if you told me Harden's going to be out for the series. So let me ask you this. If I told you Harden's going to be out for the series, and I don't know if that's the case, but you can't feel good about it. They've already announced he's going to be out for game two. Obviously, this is serious enough that he could not even play a minute in game one. If I tell you Harden's out for the series and you can repick knowing that the Nets are up 1-0, who would you take? Where would you go?
I got to go with the the Milwaukee Bucks.
You go with the Bucks, right?
Yeah, I got to go with the Bucks. I mean, I told you, I talked to some people that are in NBA circles late last week, and they were saying that they thought that the Bucks could take this series even with James Harden being healthy, just because of the additions that they made this offseason and knowing the way that those guys could potentially defend. Now, it didn't necessarily work out that way in game one, and you saw what KD and Kyrie were able to do. And then, you know, from the Bucks' perspective, they didn't get contributions from their role players that they typically would see. Like, Bryn Forbes did not have a good game. Brian Forbes did not have a good game. Bobby Portis didn't have a good game. Pat Connaughton didn't have a good game. Like, those are guys that usually play well for them and produce for them offensively. Those guys didn't play well. So, I mean, I just that's the thing that I'm interested to see what happens in game two. Are they able to flip that switch and, you know, take the lid off the basket and get things going, especially from deep? If the Bucks can do that, then I think that puts a little bit more pressure on KD and Kyrie to be volume scorers. And without James Harden being able to facilitate their greatness, that just increases the degree of difficulty on those two.
They better find a way tonight. Here is Steve Nash after the game reacting to the, you'd say devastating, but I don't know that it was, injury to James Harden.
You know, we've had a lot thrown at us this year, so we were, in a sense, well-trained for this this event. But, you know, you never want to see that. And someone like James, who's such an important player, such an incredible player, and cares so much. You know, I'm heartbroken for him. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's playing next game, if he's out. I have no idea. But heartbroken for him that he just got to miss, that he had to miss tonight. I mean, this guy was so ready and excited to play tonight. And you know the preparation he puts in. You know how much he cares about the game, how much he cares about his team. So you never want to see that when someone's, you know, gives everything they have towards this.
That was obviously after game one, before we found out yesterday he's not going to play in game two. He will not play in game two. And I think you have to question, Chris, as you sit here, the day of game two, are we going to see him again in this series? And I'd say that that's certainly up in the air right now.
Well, yeah, Dave, especially when you hear the head coach use a term like heartbreaking. Like, when you say heartbreaking, you're not – that doesn't sound like somebody that's just going to be out a game or two. That sounds like this is a significant injury. I mean, he went to the hospital Saturday night to get that MRI. This sounds like this is something that's going to be really serious and keep him out for an extended period of time. So, I mean, it sucks for James Harden just because you were excited to see what he could do being on this stage with this type of supporting cast. Because the knock on James Harden his entire career is, oh, he puts up these gaudy regular season stats, but when it comes to the postseason and winning time, he comes up small. Now, we all know that's a little bit unfair, especially that year that they took the Golden State Warriors to Game 7. And that Chris Paul hamstring injury kept them from being able to close that thing out.
Not good for James Harden's world. Huh?
No, not at all. Not at all. But, I mean, I was excited to see what James Harden could do. Because, Dave, throughout the entire regular season, we were saying that he was the most important piece of the Big Three. Not saying that he was the best of the Big Three, but he was the most important piece because of his role, him being able to distribute the basketball and get the ball to those guys in their spots, make their lives a little bit easier in terms of what the team was asking those guys to do. But now when you don't have that available, that just puts more pressure on KD and Kyrie and everybody else. I don't know who's going to step in and fill that void, Dave. And that's a big problem that they got to try to figure out because, again, it's different without having James Harden during the regular season than it is the postseason. Defense in the postseason gets ratcheted up. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to respond? Who's going to be that guy that steps up and assumes that role to be able to facilitate those guys being able to do what they do and orchestrate the offense? That's the thing that I want to see.
Well, that's our jumping off point. If James Harden doesn't play in this series, do you still think the Nets are going to find their way? Because I think most people thought the Nets were going to, if healthy, and I stand by that. But if he doesn't, do you still think that Brooklyn wins this series as they sit here up one game to none? 800-919-3776. I shouldn't even mention this, but let me mention it quickly. Did you didn't spend $50 in watching that Jake Paul Floyd Mayweather thing? Did you?
Oh yeah,
you
oh
stayed
yeah.
Up for
I
wa- it?
Yeah, Dave, I watched the real life version of the Great White Hype.
I heard it was horrendous.
I watched it. It wasn't. I will say this: it wasn't horrendous. There was a lot of action. I was left feeling disappointed though, because the only reason I tuned in, it wasn't to see Floyd Mayweather. It was to see somebody knock Logan Paul on his ass. That's what I wanted to see. And it didn't happen, but it wasn't because Mayweather didn't try.
Glory be to God, all praises to Allah, God bless America.
Exactly. Instead of Jimmy Lennon Jr., they should have had Sam Jackson as the ring announcer. But I mean, it was, from an entertainment value standpoint, it was what it was.
And it was a no decision, is that right?
It's an exhibition, yeah. It was an exhibition. I did have a chance to see Chad Johnson get knocked out, though. Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, did you enjoy that?
Not really, but no. I mean, it was just like at the end of that exhibition, he got knocked out. Didn't look like he knew really where he was, but yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Barkley and Sammy, the two dogs that we purchased about 2 months ago, there was almost no more Barkley at the end of the weekend. You almost only had Sammy in your life.
What happened, Dave?
Barkley took probably my most precious possession on Friday evening and ran around the house taunting me with it.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
He did not take Lawrence Taylor. He took the remote control.
Wow. So he's just running around with the remote control.
Running around with the remote. I'm watching the Yankees Friday night, takes the remote control, and then he's taunting me, and you can't catch him. I mean, there's no way I could get him. I yelled at him, nothing. I cornered him. He evades me. I had to call in for backups. I called in for Ben, Alex. I was like, we have to get this dog and stop this dog immediately.
So he wanted somebody to play with him, though, Dave. That's what it sounds like to me. Where were the boys at?
The boys are around, but I mean, Chris, this is what happens. They make promises that they don't deliver on. We promise if you get a dog, we will do everything. You won't even know, guys. Mom and Dad, you won't even know that we're dealing with two dogs. Yeah, we know. At 4:15 this morning, I knew. When this dog is running around with the remote control, I knew. I know what's happening here. These dogs are wreaking havoc.
You know what, Dave? I would feel bad for you if you didn't bring this upon yourself.
No, it's my own fault.
Yeah, you brought this upon yourself.
You shouldn't feel bad for me.
No.
You should laugh at me.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it right now.
You should
laugh
at
me. Because you're the one that decided you wanted to walk into the pet store. Like, when you do that, you know that there's a chance you could be walking out with a pet. I didn't think that you would take it to the level that you didn't walk out with two, but I mean, you're rolling the dice there in that situation, knowing that the boys want a dog.
It was a game of Russian roulette, and the first bullet was discharged.
Yes, that's exactly what happened,
and that's where we are. Welcome.
And now you can't watch the Yankees game in peace.
Yeah, I couldn't watch. I mean, I'm running around like, you got to be kidding me. I'm exhausted. It's Friday night, long week, and I am now chasing a dog at 9 o'clock at night. It was unbelievable. All right, let's get to the Nets calls. 800-919-3776. Dave in Jersey City, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Mr. Canty, don't forget the top play is Kevin Durant, and P.J. Tucker is on Durant, and Durant is still scoring 29 points, having off games. So six out of, let's say, the next six games, we only need Durant to play the big game three times. The Nets will win, and I'm going to tell you, Mr. Canty, you're my man, but welcome to the real New York. The Nets will defeat the Bucks. You guys keep on doing the great work you guys are doing.
Appreciate it, David. I don't think anybody thought that that the Nets weren't true title contenders. Like, no. We said this coming into the season. Like, even without trading for James Harden, the Nets were going to be title contenders.
They're the heavy favorites.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we didn't realize that. So, I mean, it is the thing, though. With Brooklyn, yeah, you have Kevin Durant, who is the best offensive player in the world today. Like, there's no question about that in my mind. In terms of his skill sets, what he can do, like, there are really no limitations, but it's just a matter of being able to set him up and try to make life as easy as you possibly can for him, knowing that he's going to be the focal point of every team's defense. Like, every opposing team is going to come in, and the first person that's on the whiteboard that they have to stop is Kevin Durant. And so you want the supporting cast to be able to try to take a little bit of pressure off him, and James Harden did that when he was in the lineup for KD and Kyrie. And so now you're just wondering, facing off against one of the best defensive teams in the entire league. Like, how is that going to look in the playoffs with that kind of intensity with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving not having their setup man?
I don't know. I wouldn't bet against them. I really wouldn't. I mean, I obviously it helps Milwaukee tremendously, but as we sit here right now, I think this is now a flip of the coin. If you tell me Harden doesn't play the remainder of the series,
yeah.
I still, Chris, give the Nets a great chance to win the series.
Okay. Still get a great chance to win the championship? You still feel good about that?
I give him a great chance to win the championship if he doesn't play.
Because if they win this series, I'm just assuming that they're going to the NBA Finals.
I guess so. I still believe so. Now, obviously, they're not the prohibitive favorites in my mind. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, a lot is taken away if he doesn't come back the entire postseason. But, yeah, I still give them a great chance to win the NBA title, even if James Harden doesn't come back. Yes.
Yeah, I would say this. If they can get past the Bucks, I think the Bucks, this is just one of those teams. Like, I feel like this is a tough chest. I'm interested to see more from those teams out west, like the Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns. I want to see more. The Clippers are there. I mean, they won Game 7 yesterday against the Mavs, and I said if the Clippers were able to get out of that series, maybe they finally get their act together and play up to the expectations that we had when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George decided to team up. But, I mean, I feel like losing James Harden knocks the Brooklyn Nets back down to the pack. And now there's probably about three or four teams in there that I could actually see getting hot and making a run and winning a championship.
I agree with that. It brings them back to the pack, and there are other teams that are right there with them. I agree with that. Kenny in Jersey. Kenny, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave and Kenny. Look, I'm so sick of these Brooklyn, fake Fugazi Brooklyn fans. This is getting on my nerves. Look, they'll never be the Knicks. I don't care if they win three or four championships. You heard that call? So he sounded like Mr. Stuffelupkis. Hi, Dave. They have no, you know what I mean? So I don't want to hear nothing more about these Brooklyn. That's a Fugazi team. It's a super team that was constructed with three out of five best players in the league. So if they don't win it, you know, I don't have no sympathy for them.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to, Kenny. If they don't win it, they'll be destroyed. And I think that's fair. But why? I don't understand, Chris. Why do we have to sit here on a Monday morning and it's always got to be, they'll never be the team in New York and they're the Nets and they're the same. We know that. We know that. They will never, ever, ever. They could win five titles in a row. They will never take over New York City. Will always be a Knicks town. But they are the last New York team that we have standing, and they're relevant, and they're as interesting as any team in the NBA right now.
No, I'm with you on that one, Dave. But you know how Knicks fans are going to react, Dave. I mean, nobody – when Kevin Durant says the Knicks are not the cool thing to do, when he says that's not it, when he discussed making his decision to sign with the Brooklyn Nets, like no Knicks fan wanted to hear that. So now that this team is where everybody expected them to be after that move happened, it's just kind of like Knicks fans want to say, well, yeah, you can win a title, maybe two with this group, but you'll never be where we're at. Like, you'll never own this city as far as NBA teams are concerned. Like, you'll always be little brother. It's just one of those things, Dave. You can, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand it personally. But it's just one of those things where Knicks fans always feel like because the stars on the opposing team, the crosstown team, took a shot at them, like they can always kind of puff out their chest and say, our brand is bigger than yours.
I guess. I don't know. The other team is alive and well, and even if they're hurt, they're still, you know, way, way better than you. And the Knicks fan are like, well, we'll always own the town. Yes, you will always own the town. All right, Chris, I did the best I could for you. I delayed the inevitable as long as humanly possible. We have to turn our attention to the Yankees. And what a disaster of a weekend it was at the stadium. Heading into Thursday, we were sitting here like, you know what? All right, looks like they're back. And you know what? They're not. They are as far as humanly possible from being back. We will get to that next. 800-919-3776. So if you want to scream from the rooftops about your Yankees, now's your chance. 800-919-3776. 7-6 DCR with you on a Monday morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
the Knicks somehow can continue to be relevant here, and I guess they always will be. So let's get to those, and then, Chris, we're getting right into your Yankees. Randy and Rahway. Randy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I just want to say I think the Bucks are going to win the next four games in a row, because you got a prelude to that in the beginning when Brook Lopez dunked over the whole team and Giannis caught a dunk and lob over Durant. So they're going to take the next four in a row.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think any of these teams is going to win four in a row. Not the Nets, not the Bucks, not in this series. They're both too good, Dave. Like, we've seen it throughout the course of the regular season. These are two evenly matched teams, especially when you start talking about the absence of James Harden for the rest of the series. Like, I just feel like this is going to be a back-and-forth affair, and it's one of those that's a flip of a coin. Like, I don't look at it and say with this particular matchup that it's one-sided either way. So, I mean, this is going to be a good series. We thought it would be a good series coming in. We're saying that this is the Eastern Conference Finals because the next round, no matter who either one of these teams match up against, won't be the caliber of the team that they're playing against right now. So, I mean, this is it, Dave. Like, I'm excited to see this series. And truth be told, I wanted to play out to Game 7. I wanted to have that kind of theater.
I think you have a good chance of that, especially if Harden doesn't return. If Harden returns and he's somewhat healthy, I think this will be a shorter series. But no Harden evens the playing field a lot. Derek in Brooklyn, good morning. Derek, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Derek.
I'm really trying to understand how fans of a team that just got the gentleman sweep by a lower seed that has won like one playoff game in 10 years, I still remember the fans that went to the Garden with brown bags over their head. And now they're talking about the Nets. Like, you guys should still like talk about how you run the city. That's fine. But let's look at the fact. The Nets are a way better team than you guys.
Oh, my God. We know this.
Let your phone off.
Derek, we get it. We said it. We've said it all year. The Nets are a way better team. This Nets fan that can't. Why don't you call and make a point about your Nets? Why don't you call us and make a point about not having James Harden or how good Durant was or the fact that Blake Griffin, who they thought was done in Detroit, was so good in game one? Why not do that? Why are you so have this inferiority complex when anybody mentions the Knicks? You now have to take shots at the Knicks. Let it go. You're relevant. You're playing. You're the team that everyone is talking about, and you still can't let it go.
I don't get it, Dave.
Let it go.
I don't understand it. I mean, Brooklyn Nets should just be satisfied that they're living rent-free in the heads of Knicks fans. Like, right now, you're the team that everybody is watching. Like you said, like, the Knicks are on vacation now. But, I mean, I guess it's just one of those things that Brooklyn Nets fans, because they've been slighted for so long, because they've been little brother in this city for so long, now that their team is a true title contender, they feel like it's disrespect for Knicks fans to come out of the woodworks and say, well, this will always be a Knicks town. I don't know. I don't get it, Dave. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But, I mean, this is a back and forth that's really, really strange between Nets fans and Knicks fans.
It's embarrassing at this point. Discuss your team. You don't need to be discussing the Knicks every time you make a phone call. All right, Chris, I did everything I could for you.
Yeah, you did.
I did everything I could for you. And I can do no more. Chris, I said last Monday that the Yankees are in trouble. And you and Rick kind of jumped all over me and said they're not in trouble. There's so much time left. They're going to be fine. They're going to make a run. Chris, I'm going to say it again with a little more emphasis and I guess you could say enthusiasm this week. The Yankees are in trouble. This is a bad baseball team. And I know the umpire last night, it was a horrendous call. I get it. But the Yankees still had an opportunity to win that game. They lost Friday. They lost Saturday. They lost Sunday. They lost Thursday when Cole was on the mound. You have problems, my friend. Major problems.
Yeah, let's first start with addressing that, though, Dave. I mean, the umpires
horrendous.
The last week or so are killing the Yankees, killing the Yankees. There's no world in which that's strike three on Odor. And you're talking about a time in the game where all of those at-bats could potentially swing the game one way or the other. Like, I mean, to call strike three under those circumstances when the ball was clearly a foot outside, like, it's just like one of those things, like, what are you doing? Now, I'll also make this point. I don't think the Yankees complaining about it and doing what they're doing and having Phil Nevin come out of the dugout and doing what he's doing and get tossed, I don't think that ends up changing the results of it. I think the Yankees have got to be able to find a way to battle through it. But even with that being said, if you had more consistent at-bats, then maybe you wouldn't be in a situation where an egregious strike three call like that makes that much of a difference in terms of deciding the outcome of that ball game. But, I mean, Dave, there's no way to sugarcoat getting swept at home by your division rival, the Boston Red Sox. There's no way to do it. I mean, it's the first time it's happened since 2011. I mean, for this Yankees team, we said that this was going to be an important week because you had four against the Rays and you had the weekend set against the Red Sox, two teams that you're chasing in the standings. It was an opportunity to close the gap. And, Dave, they squandered it. I mean, they got the first couple against the Rays, then they dropped they got a couple against the Rays, but then you dropped the weekend set against the Red Sox. It just makes no sense. You've lost four straight games in 10 out of the last 13. And everybody's making excuses, and you're hearing guys in that locker room saying, well, we've got time to figure it out. Well, Dave, we're on the other side of Memorial Day. We're a third of the way through the season. They've played 60 games. And right now the Yankees are not a fundamentally sound team. They're not. I mean, you saw what you saw in the eighth inning last night with Clint Frazier in right field. What's wrong with calling DJ LeMahieu off? That's a routine play. You learn how to do that in Little League. I don't understand why these things continue to pop up. I just don't. I mean, and then, you know, you have situations like what happened in the fourth inning, Dave. You got bases loaded, one out, and you can only scratch off one run in that inning. Like, you got to get more mileage out of those types of situations. Or in extra innings, DJ LeMahieu, Tyler Wade's on second, and you got an opportunity to try to drive in a run to tie it up, and you come up small on your way to an 0-for-5 night. Like, those are the things that just that drive me crazy, and I don't know how they get those things fixed, Dave. Like, I don't know how they all of a sudden flip a switch and become a fundamentally sound team. I just don't see that happening.
So, I mean, I think you have to panic at this point. Really. I think if you're a Yankees fan, you have to panic. And you know what you're going to get today, Chris? You're going to get this all over the place. You're going to get the blaming of the umpire. And you're right. Like, that was a horrendous call. But what that's going to do, in my mind, is mask what the real issue is. And the real issue is the Yankees are a bad team. They don't hit. The guys that you're relying on do not hit. LeMahieu last night was horrendous. Horrible. You can't play Stanton again? Chris, are you kidding me? Stanton doesn't play three times this week, and that's with the day off today? And I think they have a bizarre day off Friday coming up this week as well. So this is what's going to happen. I can tell you right now, everyone's going to blame the umpire. It's an awful call. I'm not arguing that. It was a terrible call.
Yep.
It happened. You have to find your way past it. But that's what's going to be the topic of conversation, and it should be to an extent, but not all of it. Because the Yankees, I mean, we turned on our microphones on Thursday morning, like, all right, you know what? Looks like they've righted the ship. Mm-hmm. And then to lose with Cole on the mound and to get swept at home by the Red Sox is repulsive.
Yeah, Dave, and right now you're looking for somebody to step in and stop the bleeding. Like, in past years, before he retired, CC Sabathia was that guy. Like, he was the starting pitcher that would step in. He would be the one that would kind of, you know, swing the momentum for this team back in the right direction. But right now, I don't know if you have that guy on this team. Like, you have a good collection of talent, but they're not playing together as a team, and they're not playing fundamentally sound baseball. I come back to that term because it's obvious, Dave. I mean, the statistics don't lie, Dave. The Yankees have 28 outs on the bases this year. They've been thrown out 12 times at home plate. They have 31% taking the extra base and 24% runners on base scoring. That's last in Major League Baseball. Like, those are all last in Major League Baseball. The offense is awful, Dave. They can't get right. And I don't know at what point you get those things fixed. I don't. Like, I mean, we've seen a large enough sample size to realize this is not a good team. And if this team is not scoring a lot of runs, then they're not going to be able to sustain the success that they've had so far this season, because the pitching has been great. The starting pitching has been really, really good, a pleasant surprise. The bullpen has been good, not so much last night, but the bullpen has been good by and large this year. But the offense is not held up their end of the bargain. And unless that comes around, I mean, we're not just talking about the Yankees not competing for a championship. We could be talking about the Yankees not getting into the playoffs.
Oh, we really could. I mean, you 6.5 games. Listen, Tampa, you agree right now. Tampa's the better team, right?
Yes, Tampa's a better team.
All right, so you're 6.5 is not an insignificant number. It's not. So to be behind a team that you look at as better by 6.5 games on June the 7th is a legitimate number. And Boston is right behind them. So at best, and yeah, I mean, you're behind and Toronto as well. And you look at the landscape of the American League. I mean, Oakland is pretty good, and Houston is pretty good, and the White Sox are pretty good, and the Indians are not awful. You are getting yourself in trouble if you're the Yankees. And it would infuriate me. Because to have teams that are supposed to stink, that stink, is one thing. To have teams that are supposed to be good, that stink, is another. And this is an embarrassment right now. 800-919-3776. Steve in the car. Steve, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, I don't know if you guys seen Cool Hand Luke, where the warden says, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Love that movie.
I think the Yankees right now, to me, are not the Yankees, man. This is a Triple-A team. This team is a Triple-A team. There's no respect there. Nobody listens to what the man. I think Boone's time is just about it right now. I think they need to bring in Buck. If you guys agree with that or what, they need a disciplinarian in there. Somebody who can tell them, do it.
Does he make Brett Gardner hit the ball, Steve? I mean, these guys are hitting below 200. All of them. You sit there and blame Aaron Boone for that? I see people all over the place this morning, Chris. He should have argued more. He shouldn't have left it up to Phil Nevin. Do you think that's why the Yankees are so bad?
No, Dave. That's got nothing to do with it. That's got nothing to do with it. I mean, the Yankees' offense is just really, really bad. Their offense is bad, Dave. I mean, you're talking about – here's the thing, Dave. Like, we're sitting there looking at this Yankees team this year and we're saying, well, you know, they always win around 100 games in a normal season, so that's just what's going to happen, right? In the two full seasons where Aaron Boone has been the manager, I think they've won 100 games and 103 games. So, I mean, that's what you want to assign them. You say the regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the postseason. Well, with this Yankees team, you're going to have to get into the postseason. And if your offense doesn't dramatically improve, that's not going to happen. I don't know how much of that is on Aaron Boone. I really don't. Like, we can say that, oh, the manager's got to do more, he's got to push the right buttons. But, I mean, if your guys aren't putting together quality at-bats, if they're not playing fundamentally sound in terms of being able to run the bases and being competent out there in the field defensively, then how good are you going to be? How many games are you going to win?
Look at that Red Sox in the eighth inning last night. You have that horrendous misplay. And yeah, even A-Rod was destroying the Yankees, and rightfully so. So he winds up on second and runs all the way through, by the way, which, you know, if that's somebody on the Yankees, I don't know that you see. But he starts on second, then you get the ground ball to the right side, then you get the deep fly ball to center field. That's winning baseball. And the Yankees don't play baseball like that, Chris. And they haven't in a long time.
No, they don't, Dave. And here's the problem. They don't score enough runs to be able to overcome those mistakes. In terms of runs per game, it's the worst it's been for the Yankees since 1972. In terms of batting average, at this point in the season, the worst it's been since 1968. Like, that's where they're at. Runners in scoring position, that batting average, worst since 1969. That's how bad the Yankees are right now. Dave, you're talking about 60 years ago, 50, 60 years ago.
Your run differential, I think, is -4. You're two games over 500. You're an embarrassment right now. KC in North Carolina. KC, you're on 98.7.
Hi. So I'm just upset with Brian Cashman. He is stuck in the mud ever since, like, 2010. He always gets one thing in his mind and just goes. Like, look at Greg Bird. He sucked for 3-4 years. Even though he kept on getting injured, he's like, he's the future. Same thing with Hicks and Sanchez. It just gets annoying after a while. So he needs to kind of throw the analytics out. I like the analytics. Boone is fine. But you got to go to old-fashioned baseball, and it sucks.
I don't think they're going to do that, though.
I don't think they're going to switch their approach. Yeah. Philosophically, this organization is locked into the analytics approach and being able to try to, you know, hit home runs or extra base hits. Like, that's who they're going to be. That's who their personnel to be. And it feels like they're all in on that front. So, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, switching managers or something like that. I don't know that that happens under Brian Cashman. I just don't see that.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't even know what it would do. Do you think that they're not hitting the ball, Chris, because of the manager?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I'm not going to say a managerial change can't make a difference because, I mean, look at what the Boston Red Sox are this year compared to what they were last year. Like, I mean, dramatically different, like from Ron Renneke to Alex Cora. Like, it's a complete, you know, 180. Right. So, I mean, a manager can make a difference, but I don't know that a managerial change at this point for the Yankees is what makes the most sense in terms of being able to get this team back right. I just don't see it. Like, I don't. This is a team that's not very good. There's nothing from an identity standpoint that you would say that they can hang their hat on outside of their bullpen. There really isn't. Like, it's not like they're hitting a whole lot of home runs. It's not like they do a good job of making sure they can run the bases properly. Like, they just – it's sloppy baseball, Dave. And until they clean up those mistakes, they're going to find themselves on the losing end. They've got to clean up the mistakes or they got to start hitting home runs. Until one of those two things happens, the Yankees are going to be exactly where they're at right now in the AL East.
Now, I do not blame Aaron Boone, and I want to be on record saying that. But at some point now, Chris, do you have to make a change? I mean, if you continue to hemorrhage here, and now you're 6.5, if you wind up 8.5, 9.5, like if it just continues to spiral, are you just forced into making a change? Or do you just play the hand you're dealt and say, nope, Cashman and Boone are our guys, and we will figure it out at some point?
I mean, if you make a change with Aaron Boone right now, isn't that Brian Cashman admitting that he made a mistake at the end of 2017 when he decided to move off of Girardi?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that Brian Cashman is willing to do that right now. I don't think he's going to do that. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Maybe it gets to the point where it just stinks so bad that the fan base wants their pound of flesh. But I don't think Brian Cashman is going to give it to him. I don't. And we saw the indicator earlier this year when the Yankees came out of the gate struggling. Brian Cashman did that, you know, I guess that press conference, or he released that video, and he was just kind of saying that hold the course, give us some time, give us a few weeks, we'll see where we're at by the end of, what was it, April? And, you know, I guess the team has started to get things turned around. They went on a little bit of a run. But I just feel like with Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman is going to give him as much leash as he possibly can in order to try to get this thing fixed. I don't foresee them making an in-season change at the managerial spot. I don't.
Oh, Yankees, if this continues, Yankees fans are going to have nervous breakdowns. I think you're going to start to get it today. I really do. I think this is the straw that all of a sudden the Yankees fan is like, we just got swept by the Red Sox.
Yep.
We're 6.5 games out. We can't score runs. I do think that you're saved a little bit with the horrendous call last night, because I think that's going to be a tremendous topic. But I think that puts lipstick on the pig, because the truth of the matter is, as bad as the call was, and I'm not defending it at all, yeah, I mean, you get Bogarts out there, you're probably winning that game. Like, you still had opportunities to win the game, and you couldn't get it done. So, yes, it's convenient to blame the umpire, and in that spot to make that call is egregious, but you still had opportunities to win.
But you did have opportunities to win, Dave, but going back to the umpire call, like, there are people that are being critical that it was Phil Nevin and not Aaron Boone that was going out there and getting in the ump's face. Like, there were people that were saying, well, why are you letting Phil Nevin do that? Why are you letting your assistant coaches do that? That should be something that the manager's doing. Now, we saw him do it last week in that series against the Rays. But, I mean, this is one of those things. I don't know if Aaron Boone or any of the other coaches showing fire is going to get this team to snap out of the funk that they're in. And at this point, I'm moving off of calling it a funk and just calling it what it is, which is this Yankees team is going to be a sloppy team when it comes to the fundamentals of the sport. This is just who they are now. I'm tired of saying that, oh, this is just, you know, a funk, or this is just a slump that they're in. Dave, I think this is who the 2021 Yankees are.
Why, but why? I don't. I mean, they were so good offensively for the last couple of years. Why all of a sudden are they so bad?
Dave, I don't know. I have no idea. You would think that because you had so many young guys, you would be able to build on the performances that you've had the last couple of years. They would start to figure it out as they had more seasoning and more experience under their belt. But that hasn't been the case. It feels like it's going in the opposite direction, where this team kind of has this malaise and there's not attention to detail, and they're not locked in all the time. Like, they don't hustle. They don't do the little things well. Like, it feels like they've kind of regressed in that way. And as a result, you know, they've kind of fell into mediocrity. Like, that's what their record says. They're two games over 500.
Oh, they're mediocre.
They're a mediocre baseball team.
There's no two ways about it. Your New York Yankees 2021 are mediocre.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.